there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast, that's never-ending retro dialogue. I am Jordan.
And I am Doug.
Today's a bit of a special episode.
Yeah, it is.
Departure from the normal.
We've got more people surrounding the microphone than we've had ever.
Ever.
So, let's see. All the way back to...
Yeah, what was that?
Episode 3. We talked about Dungeons & Dragons. And I believe we had one of the people with us on that episode, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So, we finally finished our campaign. So, our group, you know, toiled through 18 months. We started in September of 2022. Finished, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And we were triumphant. So we wanted to celebrate and have everyone on and talk about the campaign. So we're going to let everyone introduce themselves. First up is our Dungeon Master.
Hello. I'm John. I DM things.
Jeez.
Hi, I'm Fallon. I'm Doug's niece.
I'm Josh, and I played Aeolus the Paladin.
Go. All right.
Hello, I'm Ethan. I was Pate and Ren. I had two characters this campaign.
Hello, I'm Kate, and I played a cleric Asimar named Andromeda.
All right, and I played a bard named Bradbury.
Mm-hmm. And then I was a barbarian named Ustan. And Fallon, what was your class?
Fighter.
You were a fighter. Okay.
A fighter.
And then what were... Because, so Ethan, if you listen to us religiously, we'll know that Ethan was on our anime episode, which may or may not come out before this one. We don't know.
Good point.
TBD. But what were your... One was a druid, right?
Yeah, one was a warlock, slash druid, and then the other one was just a warlock.
And why did you have to have two characters?
The first character got seduced by Strahd.
Beautiful. Why don't we have John talk about what Curse of Strahd is? Because I don't think we talked a whole lot about it in the Dungeons & Dragons
episode. Yeah, I think we had just started playing all those months ago.
Give a quick Cliff Notes version of what the story is.
So a quick Cliff Notes on it without spoiling anything. Curse of Strahd is a gothic horror module that was made by Wizards of the Coast. It plays off of the story of Ravenloft from an older edition. And the premise essentially is that you are a group of adventurers. You get whisked away to a alternate reality of sorts. One where the first vampire rules over everything. There's a repeating quote, he is the ancient, he is the land, and that's very much how it is. He can see through every animal, he can control just about everything as this sort of godlike being, and you need to build up power, try and escape, and perhaps even defeat him.
Wow, not bad.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I'm not paid for by the Wizards of the Coast, by the way.
We say that a lot on here. We're not paid for by such and such.
Yeah.
But we would be.
Yeah, if they want to.
If they, you know, you want to send us some games for us to try? Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. So, we had kind of an interesting... goings on there at the beginning, right? Because so originally when we started, it was me and Jordan and Kate and Ethan and Josh, with John being the dungeon daddy, and then Josh and I started having kind of similar ailments, and so Josh had to take some time off, which Fallon came in.
Yep.
And it was, how did you decide? Because we had already, because we'd been playing for what, about 3 or 4 months before you had to take some time off, Josh?
Yeah.
And then, so then you had to bring someone in. How do you decide how to do that seamlessly?
Well, obviously it has to be done in a way that suits the narrative. And honestly, it was easy for me because I feel like Fallon did most of the work in creating the character.
Wow. A compliment from John.
Yeah, rare.
What? Now, I know we've talked about this before, so how many of us was this their first campaign? Now, Josh, you'd played...
I played in high school.
Yeah, and I had done it a little bit in high school, too, but, I mean, that was some years ago.
Yeah.
And so it was practically like starting all over. I couldn't remember how to do anything as far as when John would say, roll a constitution save. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Fallon, was this your first campaign?
Yes, first time playing. There was one other group with my friends, but we didn't actually get to playing. So
gotcha.
First time playing.
And Ethan, you guys had tried before, right? But it didn't really go anywhere?
Me and a group of friends played one time, and we only met up for two sessions, and then we stopped.
Okay. And then Kate?
Yeah, I've played a few times in high school and then also, I mean, the past few years. But I wouldn't say I'm, you know, a pro.
Sure.
By any means.
And then you had DM'd.
Yeah,
mostly,
I had DM'd,
right?
And I played, but I was not. I think the only campaign I ever finished was the starter kit campaign that comes with, like, the pre-made characters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, we'll play this and then you'll get a feel for how to play. And then everybody, you know, and then the schedules come in and people fall out and stuff. So
yeah, I will say, my first impression when we were playing for that first night was Kate, because she literally jumped right into the role and was having that conversation as the character, and that really impressed but also threw me off, because I was not expecting
I was not expecting that.
It's like, holy crap, she knows what she's doing here.
Well, I think as as a person who enjoys D&D, one of my favorite parts is the role-playing mm-hmm. aspect of it, so I was looking forward to that. But of course, I also did like theater in college and high school and stuff, so it was, you know, so I have lots of experience. But no. Yeah, so I was definitely, that was like one of my main, I guess, focus points was the role play part.
No, it was absolutely amazing. I still don't feel like I quite got it. I had moments where I felt like I could do it, but I caught myself, and I think you probably caught yourself too, Josh, a lot, where you're kind of talking outside of
what was
happening.
Oh, yeah.
I tried, but a lot like you. It was forced.
Yeah.
Much more mechanics, roll the dice, mm-hmm. do the stats.
Yeah.
And then Kate actually role played.
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah, but I mean, I still had those moments too where I was talking like myself to all of you, you know? Cause I think that's one of the more difficult things about D&D is obviously you have to learn the mechanics, but then to actually like immerse yourself in mm-hmm. your character and in the world, I think takes a lot of practice, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
Was there... I'll ask you this first, Fallon. Was there a point where you can remember where it's like, okay, I've got this, or, oh, I really feel like I'm this character, or I'm getting into that character, or...
Yeah, there was a... like, a couple games in, I was just like, okay, I think I'm getting the hang of this. There's some points where I was just trying to go through my phone, because I have it on my phone, my character.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, wait, how do I find out how hard it hits with the sword? And so it took me a second, but it's easy enough to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I'm also a fighter, so it's mostly just
hitting
things. There's
things.
No spell DC or nothing. So.
Yeah. How about you? Josh, did you ever feel like this one moment's like, oh, I'm this character? I
more when I came back after the time off, when everybody was more into the campaign and I finally got caught back up,
mm-hmm.
You know, started to role play more with, you know, he didn't have a high intelligence, so he wasn't very smart.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my struggle too. Well, I'll wait till it's my turn. Ethan, you had the two characters. Did you feel more comfortable with one versus the other?
I feel like when I was playing as Ren, it was more my own personality, kind of, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like for both characters, I role-played a lot better at the beginning, and then it kind of mellowed out. But there was, like, definitely moments, like, especially with Pate, since he was a druid, I tried to be more like he paid attention to nature and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of, like, weird druid things. So, felt a lot more comfortable with Pate, I think, because of that aspect.
And you just had it from day one, right?
Had it down, yeah. It's almost like I'd waited this entire time.
Yeah, you were born.
Just for this moment, yeah.
To play Andy.
Next.
Do you feel like there was a seminal moment?
I would say there were several. Yeah, I would say probably several. You know, because there's also being a person playing a character and reacting to things that are happening and events. And I think maybe learning from that as a person playing a character, but then also figuring out how your character is going to evolve based on those events. So maybe it was just me, but I felt like there were several moments where...
Mm-hmm. No, I'd agree with that. What about the Birdman?
I think there were... For me personally, it was... there were two types of Bradbury. Mm-hmm. There was pre-losing a leg Bradbury and post-losing a leg Bradbury. So in the campaign, I got my leg blasted off, just clean off. Now John was nice and let me choose between my hand and my leg, but since I was a bard, I decided I wanted my leg because I could still strum a mandolin, not a mandolin, a lyre. So before that, I was just kind of like, oh, like I guess I didn't feel as much of like the repercussions of being a character until I lost a leg, and then I was like, oh, like now I kind of became more cautious and like more apprehensive of the world around me. I grew my leg back eventually, but you don't forget something like that.
No, you don't. That sticks with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you rocked out some awesome songs, so.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was glad to keep my hand.
Your wing.
Well, no, I have hands and wings.
No, no kidding.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
What?
You had hands and wings?
Yeah.
How are you a Birdman with hands?
That's the man part.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I was a barbarian, so I was dumb, right? But that was my struggle, is I kept, especially early on, I kept wanting to think about things too much because I think about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't probably until, Muriel.
Yeah.
I won't talk about what happened. We don't want to do any spoilers here, but that's probably the first time I felt like a barbarian Josh, you weren't here for that. So this NPC that I had a crush on, we find her against a tree, dead. And so I literally just had an instant reaction and just went flying towards a tree. Andy tried to put some kind of spell or something to stop me, and that was like the first time I actually felt like a barbarian. And I think I got into it a little bit more because I started decapitating a bunch of people.
Yes, that usually helps.
Yes.
Had a few good barbaric yops.
Yes, I did. So, but that was the tricky one, to just play a not smart character and just act and not think. That was tough.
I should clarify real quick. Andy is short for Andromeda. I don't think I said that. Yeah. I mostly went by Andy. My character did.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yep. Sorry.
No, it's my bad.
And Pate is Pate.
We had we had several non-human, but we also had another companion, Josh, if you would like.
Oh.
Yes.
Eustace.
Yes, Eustace.
Yes. Early on in the campaign, my character acquired a pet. and it was rough to keep that pet. Most of my group was very untrustful. There was a lot of protect and save.
Yeah, there may have been a note saying that the dog could be a spy. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I had to convince the group that my dog was a good person.
Yeah.
Or a good dog.
And they survived.
They did.
Made it through. Mm-hmm. Now,
I actually developed quite a bit for a
dog. He was a pretty good NPC. Yeah. Now, the version we played, you tinkered with it, right, John? So you didn't go straight out of the book. Now, would you say most DMs kind of put their own thing to it, or do most of them kind of go verbatim?
Really, it varies from DM to DM. There are some that run it completely by the books, some that change everything to a point where it's unrecognizable, and I prefer to do sort of a blend, a little bit in the middle. I change quite a few things, but I don't change a lot. Really, it just varies. Wizards of the Coast does have some good writing, and there are times where I think they fall quite short. Not sponsored. that's where I'll usually intervene and try and sprinkle a little bit more narrative and storytelling into it. If I had to recommend, I would only use their books as a guideline and always add your own little touch to it.
How long would you say you work now? Do you run, because you've run this campaign several times.
That's correct.
Is it the same every time, all the same changes, or do you tweak it per group?
I tweak it. I definitely finish a campaign and I'll think afterwards, like, oh, I could have done this better, or this could have been more interesting, or it would have been really cool if the character had an opportunity to do this. And I'll just daydream about it and think on various other cool things that could be put in, and the next time I run it, I'll change it like so.
Cool.
Can I ask some of the other players at the table, especially like the newer ones?
Yes.
Was there anything that really stood out to you guys? Was there anything really surprising or something about D&D you weren't expecting, or maybe Josh, things that had changed for you since you played in high school?
They used a pencil instead of a rock and tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet that was a big, big change.
That was nice. I remember when we played in high school, we were in second edition, and undead were terrifying because they actually stole levels, hit points, things like that. And it was nice to not be quite so terrified, given that we were in the Ravenloft campaign, that we weren't instantly going to stay at, you know, level 2 for the whole campaign.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Ethan. The older additions for you. You get slapped by a ghost and lose a level.
Yeah. What surprised you the most? Or
wasn't really too surprised, but I was like kind of impressed with how well that John was able to like DM compared to my last campaign that I played. It was his first time, the first time I played it, so he was kind of new to everything, and my character was kind of overpowered, and I think John was very good at like keeping everything balanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John is a very good DM.
Well, thank you.
Yes, yeah. You're welcome.
Feel free to shower me with as many compliments as you want.
I do have a list of things you could improve on, if you would like.
I will say it would have been nice to one-shot Strahd.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been.
Yeah, those legendary moves. Oh,
hey, whoa, no spoilers.
Yeah. We'll say anything else.
Fallon, what surprised you?
So when I started with the group, I was worried I wouldn't be caught up with everybody else, so I started watching a lot of Critical Role. I was watching a lot of Matt Mercer and watching how he was DMing. So there is a little bit of difference between how he ran it and how John runs it. And they're both very good. And they're just different. So it's more of learning how DM runs things, how they mm-hmm. narrate and everything. Mm-hmm. So
nothing. Definitely.
Yeah.
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 Oh,
everyone
great.
Probably has their own style in
right.
some ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What about you, Jordan?
I hadn't played much as a player, so there was a lot that I was like, oh man, I gotta get used to this. But I think the biggest thing for me was just like how big and encompassing the story was. Because I was like, at first I was like, oh, it's D&D, it's gonna be like a big story. But I was like, wow, there's so many layers to this story. And we went through a whole country, basically, back
yeah.
and forth. And I was really impressed with that. And really impressed with a lot of NPC work, particularly Blinsky. If I can give a shout out to my homeboy, Shot Blinsky.
Blinsky's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Sharon and Maddie, when we first started and they were around, loved listening to your voices.
Yeah.
they were impressed that you actually took the time to actually do voices, and which was a nice touch.
Oh, the theme music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. John would have this theme music playing. That stuff was killer. I would say, but I was impressed with how encompassing it was too, or surprised. But my big thing was, without giving anything away. No, so we won't talk about it. One day where we should have gotten the trigger warning about how.
Oh.
Just.
Oh.
I mean, it's
yeah.
every week. It just kind of grew and grew as far as how connected I was getting emotionally to the story and then how things were affecting me. And then, like, that day was just, like, by the end, it was just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was a
but
gruesome day.
Then I was literally on the edge of my seat just those last few weeks because it's like, oh, my God, is this – what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Jordan's character almost died, what, twice?
Yeah,
so, I mean, and I hadn't experienced anything like that until towards the end when all of a sudden my tank was down to like 30 hit points or something. And it's like, oh my gosh, this could actually happen. I could end up not in this. So it I was surprised on how I knew I was invested, but it's like I really was connected. And I think that's a tribute to you.
Well, mm-hmm. I appreciate it. And I think that honestly a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, say with music, I think music is an important piece of storytelling, and it's one of the few artificial things that somebody can do to really affect, like, emotion and make people feel the stakes in a situation mm-hmm. beyond me just saying, like, hey, somebody might die here, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And world building in general is just important, and it helps to draw people in, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple of times where the words "roll initiative" would get my heart pumping.
Yeah.
Not again.
No. What did you say? What surprised you the most? That was your question.
Oh, it was my question,
yeah.
I wouldn't say anything was incredibly surprising, but I was really impressed by John's ability to, I guess, to adapt to where we were and what was going on, and any little questions someone had, you know,
mm-hmm.
he'd be able to give a good description. And also just the consistency of the descriptions and the darkness of the campaign. Because it was
yeah.
very dark, very graphic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping up every week. I mean, I know when I
remembering?
Came back, I would be a little fuzzy on where we ended up. And John always knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's where you guys were. Here's what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's who you were with.
Yeah, he could remember that, but he couldn't remember to let certain people have turns all the time.
I mean, it happens, you know. I should get 10 turns. Everybody else should get none.
Exactly. So, uh-huh. Is there... So, Fallon...
Mm-hmm.
We don't want John to talk anymore. what would you... Especially since you came in... halfway through, what would be some advice you'd give to someone that's doing D&D for the first time, or it's been a while, you know, because you had to adapt to us.
Right.
So what would you tell them?
I would say just try to have fun with it. If you have questions, don't be afraid to ask. And just try to become the character. Just if you make a character, try to put a little bit of yourself into that character, so then you have a point to go, okay, bloom from there.
And have a patient DM.
Yes, patient DM is always nice.
How about you, since it's been forever? I mean, you and I is about the same amount of time.
Yeah, I think it depends on the DM, but I know, like, constantly having to look up what a spell did and things like that, you know, like Fallon said, the patience. But yeah, I mean, just pick your character and someone you find interesting to play.
Yeah.
If you find that hitting things would be boring, don't be a fighter.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's the advice I would give.
How about you, Double Barrel Ethan? Which character? Let me ask you this. Did you put more effort into creating one character over the other?
I definitely put more effort into Pate, just because he was a little bit more complex than Ren.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I needed to be better at is, like, memorizing how spells worked exactly. Because, like, there was quite a few times, like, almost the entire campaign where I had to ask John how to calculate my spells and stuff. Like, some of them were just, like, roll a dice, and then others were like, you gotta add this to that, and just...
And then some of them had saving throws, and then some didn't. Yeah. I don't know how... Because I didn't, obviously, as a barbarian, I didn't have any spells, but the four of you... all had spells, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how you kept them straight. I really don't. And here I'm thinking about being something that has spells. Jeez.
Same.
How about you? Yeah. What's your advice? You've got to have plenty. How do you get into a character? How?
I guess I try to... I ask my character questions... and I try to, when I'm making a character, I try to, apply like specific memories that the character had to try and form a backstory and, a personality. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't sound, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but, and then just trying to, you know, anything that happens, like how would my character react? Well, they would react this way because when they were a child, this thing happened, and yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and there were days when when we showed up and I was really tired, or I'd had like a long day at work, and I just didn't quite have it in me to fully embody the character. But I guess any advice maybe the biggest piece of advice, piggybacking off of Fallon, is be patient. With the people you're playing with, but also yourself, because if you haven't played, but you have listened to, you know, Critical Role or, I guess other groups like that, you know, you're not going to be a Matt Mercer the first 5, 6, 7 times you DM, you know, you're not going to be a professional voice actor or anything like that. But it all, you know, it all takes practice and doing it over and over again. And just remember to have fun. It's about having fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed. How about you, Matt?
I think my biggest thing would be to know your character, especially your character sheet. Take really good notes on that, or possibly even go digital, because I was finding my character sheet was getting all jacked up because it had been like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I had to add notes to it all the time, and it was just getting to the point where... So maybe even going digital would make it a little easier to sort through your stuff, because I was always like, where's this thing and where's that thing, and also know your dice.
Now, Fallon and Kid, you guys were both digital, right? Weren't both you both had stuff on your phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I would have done that, because my note sheet was the same way.
I had a mixture.
Yeah.
I think definitely if you're going to be using spells, it's helpful to have... to do like an app on your phone, because then you can really easily swipe through it and get to the spells and look at them. And
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is Josh is right. You really gotta pick the right character. I'm sure John sees that all the time. If you're not connected to your character or you don't get it, then you're not going to have any fun and you'll just kind of be dragging along, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think a good way actually to get into character, and maybe I can do it because I'm shameless and I'm not easily embarrassed, but I will make accents and voices for just about every character that I play, because I feel like if I'm using this quirky accent, then it's easier for me to just get into character and get more into the flow and into the groove. And not everybody has to do that, but even if you just change like an inflection in your voice or increase or decrease the tempo of your voice, you can really sort of connect to your character a lot quicker, at least from my experience. And quirks are always good too. Everybody likes a good memorable quirk to their character as well.
Is idiocy a quirk?
I'm going to be like Zatanna. I'm going to say everything backwards.
Say everything backwards.
Yep, there we go.
I like that.
Get ready for the next campaign.
Oh boy.
That or Pig Latin. Oh, which one do we do?
Go to backwards.
Yeah, we'll go backwards.
Also, I'm like Dolly Parton next.
There we go. Yeah. Oh gosh. Anyone else have any questions? John, have you had any campaigns that haven't finished?
I have quite a few campaigns that never reach the end, actually. Not necessarily because the party wipes or dies, but because it can sometimes be difficult to schedule around people or motivation wanes. I guess that's another piece of advice that I would have. A couple, actually, is that you need a good group and to realize that no D&D is better than bad D&D. You don't want to be trapped in a room with people that you don't like for hours on end pretending to have fun. And on top of that, consistency is key. If you don't run your session frequently enough, say like at least once every 2 weeks, then motivation will slowly begin to drop, and it's nobody's fault in particular. But, I mean, the campaign will just fizzle out. So you need to consistently keep pushing. It is work to do it, but it needs to be done if you want to finish it, especially ones like Chris Estrade that are so long. This took us more than a year and a half, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
I really like that we, you know, made a social event out of it. We had dinner every time. You know, we ordered pizza sometimes. Sometimes people cooked. And then even on the nights where we didn't play, sometimes we would show up and watch movies or just hang out. It was nice.
Yeah. I think that helped at least kept the fluidity of the group together.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very important to have a good group. And I would say this was probably the best group that I ran
oh,
for.
Man. Yeah. We even went to a game fair together.
Yeah,
minus Josh.
Right. You guys did.
We did.
I missed that.
We watched Birdemic together.
We did watch Birdemic.
Yes, we did.
Llamageddon.
Llamageddon, yeah. Some of us watched Velocipastor.
Yeah.
What's the next one we're watching?
Cade's Crossing.
Cade's Crossing.
Oh, and we watched that really messed up one. What was that one, Ethan?
Oh, Infinity Pool.
Oh, my God.
Infinity Pool, yes. Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
And we did the Lord of the Rings as a group. Because they were upset at me that I didn't like it.
And guess what?
I tolerate it now. It's pretty good. Especially the second one. I enjoyed it very much. Third one was good, too. First one's still a little long. But yeah, those next two were really good. What's the next one I'm going to try to watch?
Next movie?
Yeah, didn't I say there was one I have to rewatch because... Oh, 2001.
Well, yeah, 2001.
2001.
Oh,
it's like,
that's a classic.
Yeah. I tell them.
Didn't
that,
like it.
For, maybe I shouldn't spoil it because the sci-fi one will probably definitely come out after this. But yeah, I had a hot take on 2001. What are you going to... You know, it's how I get views.
Okay. I mean, it's fair to say you didn't understand it because I'm not sure it's quite understandable.
No.
Yeah.
No. It, you know, I just thought of something. Because Strahd is so long, is there a campaign that you would suggest to a group, especially if it's all a bunch of newbies and they really just want to dip their toes in the water?
A D&D module?
Well, whatever.
Lost Mines of Phandelver is a good one to start off with. It's short, and it's quick, it has a good bit of action and a little bit of story to it. Just about any character can fit into it, and it's a really good sort of Swiss Army knife module. It won't take forever to run it, and it's a fun one, so not sponsored.
I guess as a follow-up question, do you think Curse of Strahd took so long because it is a really long campaign, or is it partially because we did so much role-playing? Because I've been a part of groups where all they want to do is battle, and it's just like moving on to the next battle. But I feel like we did a pretty good job of like balancing role-play and fighting.
It's a mix of both. Curse of Strahd, if you want to finish every single little piece of content in it, does take quite a while. I think the average game for a party that does everything is like a year long. That extra bit tacked on to the end that we had, I would say, is probably due to character development and lots of role play.
Okay.
I would say this group was pretty into the role play. Lots of heartfelt conversations and threatening to kill Pate.
Whatever happened to Ren? Was there ever, did you have something ready for him if we went in a certain direction?
I did, yes. There was a certain amount of time that you could feasibly get to him and rescue him, but that never really happened. The situation was always, we could go save Ren, or we could do this other thing that's also quite pressing, that is time sensitive, and it was never in the cards to go and visit Strahd on his doorstep again. I think people were too worried about getting Strahded. So
there was that.
To be fair, Ren kind of brought it upon himself.
He did, yes.
Well, I think, too, it helped that since you had the other character, you know,
yeah,
it didn't really give us any reason to hurry up and go save. Yeah.
I mean, we brought it up a few times, like, what about Ren? But, like, we never really...
I blame everyone else. Ustav wanted to save him.
Right.
And he really did not, so...
Now, what would you have done with Pate? How would you handle that? You know, you've got a character who's playing two because his first one gets abducted because he's an idiot. So if we save Ren, what happens to Pate then?
So at that point, I would say that the player would need to just play one character.
Uh-huh.
I've never been a big proponent of a character playing multiple. If it, for some reason, was required by the story that one of them stuck around, then I would control them as an NPC.
Gotcha.
I get tips from the player on how they would react to certain things, and then they permanently hand the character off to me and I integrate it into part of the narrative. There'd no really be picking up that character again after I had it.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah. Precious.
It would have been really interesting to see how you would play Ren.
Probably kind of aggressive.
Mm.
Maybe a little evil.
He'd give a Nick Cage caliber performance. I know it. You want to describe what we're going to be doing next? Because we've already picked our next campaign.
Yeah, that's true. We'll actually be doing a rulebook swap. We'll be moving from D&D 5th edition to Pathfinder 2nd edition, and we'll be running the Kingmaker campaign module. That one's quite open-ended, very open world, but the general premise of it is that you are essentially colonizing a not necessarily a wasteland, but a land that has been overrun by bandits and all sorts of other nasty creatures, and trying to build something out of it. It's actually a hex-based map, and it's really good for exploration. So if you want a campaign that's good for exploring and supplies and moving around in a large area, then I would recommend Kingmaker, not sponsored.
In your opinion, what is a good sized group to play with? Minimum and maximum, in your opinion.
So it really depends on the DM. I don't really think it's a game of D&D if there's only one player. Mm. I would say minimum players, 3. That would give you quite a bit of ability to focus on their characters. For me, my comfort zone goes between 4 to 6 people, just because that's where I feel like I can focus on everybody in equal amount, not give one person all of the spotlight. And anything above 6 is where I would start to get a little bit overwhelmed. There's just too many notes that I need to make. Mm-hmm. Too much remembering what characters said what to whom, and it can get overwhelming and even daunting.
Daunting.
But there are people that are more skilled than I, mm-hmm, that run for more people. And also it depends on the system. If you're running something like D&D that's very character and narrative driven, then 4 to 6 is a good amount. But if you run something that's a little bit more hands-off, has more turns where you might not meet with all the people every single day, something like Chaosium's King Arthur Pendragon, not sponsored, then you can run with a lot more people. Sometimes up to 10 or 12, honestly. Depends on how dedicated you are.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
I believe in you. You could do it.
No.
And now has anyone... Now, Ethan and I have talked about this quite a bit, and I think John and I have too. Does anyone have any inklings of what they're looking at as far as character-wise? Got it narrowed down?
Narrowed down? No. I probably have like 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, same. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one's a rogue, there's a witch, a cleric, and a kineticist. So, mm-hmm, I got a couple of them. So I might just throw out and see what sticks.
I can't really remember 2 of them, but I know my primary is a ranger, so I'd like to play.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ethan? You and I have talked about it, but because we're kind of like Fallon, where we've got multiple.
Yeah, I was thinking a sorceress, or the other character was going to be a mixture of an investigator and a rogue, but he would be a doctor. I would be taking those traits, so it'd be pretty interesting.
No idea.
Yeah, same. I don't know.
Yeah. See, the 4 I've got picked out are the Magus, the Thermitage. There we go. The Kineticist. And then I think I was looking at the Investigator too. I was trying to pick different ones. That way, you know, if too many are already fighters, well then okay, I'll go ahead and be the investigator, or you know, even the alchemist was kind of cool. Was that the one who did all the poisons?
Mm-hmm. I actually thought about alchemist at first, but decided against it just because it would be too much, like, to keep track of, I think.
Sure. It did seem like a lot. I think doing it digitally though would probably help.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at. I want to do different ones that way. Because I don't care what I do, because the kineticist seems fun, being an airbender and an earthbender and stuff. But
I think I was also looking at a monk and a wizard.
Oh yeah, the monk was pretty cool too. Yeah.
It just depends on, like you said, if everybody's a fighter, I'll go wizard.
Yeah.
If we've got a lot of magic users, I'll go ranger or monk.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long would you say Kingmaker usually takes? Will this be your first time running Kingmaker?
It'll be my second time running Kingmaker, and it is also a pretty hefty one.
Uh-huh, of course.
And because of its nature, it can go on from a year to 2 years, honestly.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Another long haul.
Awesome. Awesome.
You're stuck with us.
Yeah.
We're going to institute capitalism in the...
Oh, yeah.
Late stage capitalism. Late stage.
You got anything else, John? Any parting words of wisdom? Any highlights of the year and a half?
Highlights?
Was there anything we did that surprised you?
There was a lot of things that surprised me. The one that surprised me the most was probably the elephant incident.
Yes. That was fun.
That was honestly probably one of my favorite moments of the campaign. Mm-hmm. We had some fun.
That was great. That was the culmination of just a great hours worth of of going together, because the four of us out there singing the song and just rocking it. Yeah,
it was a crazy one. Yeah. A lot of build up, a lot of preparing. Essentially, what it boils down to is the party was trying to distract some guards in a town. Guards in a town that are very superstitious and haven't really seen many things. And in part of doing that, they started singing, dancing, inviting people over. The bard was playing Bradbury. And eventually, after they distracted them for so long, the party started to fizzle out. And the rest of the gang wasn't quite done with their illicit dealings. And as people started to leave, our local barbarian decided he would use his magic item that summons an elephant. And he can give it one word, and it will fulfill that order until it, dies or gets recalled. So he summoned an elephant, told it to play, and there was this brief pause as everybody was just thinking, what exactly did he just do? And when the guards started screaming about a demon and chaos broke out, that was when it was realized that it might have been the best mistake they ever made. It certainly distracted them.
It sure did.
So,
it did the job.
But there was a lot of moments that surprised me that made me have to improv quite heavily. But honestly, I can't think of a whole lot to add into that. There was just so much that happened. It's hard for me to just pick something out of thin air.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we've been... talking about doing this podcast for the last 2 weeks or anything.
I'd like to procrastinate.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, how about this? What was your favorite non-playable character?
Ooh. Oh, man. My favorite non-playable character.
From the very beginning, the lady that walked around with the cart.
That's
broke my heart.
Old lady.
Wow, there were so many good ones, and you did a good job of making them. I mean, the abbot ended up being really cool.
Yeah, the abbot was my favorite.
Adrian I liked, but I got to interact with him the most, probably. I mean, obviously I had a crush on Muriel, but we didn't have that much interaction.
Never did figure out where she went.
No, sure didn't. Yeah, I probably say the abbot. I was impressed with. I didn't see it going that way, so he was pretty cool.
Hi.
How about you? Did you? Yeah, I mean, Blinsky, right?
Well, Blinsky, but does Kuvash count?
Kuvash counts as a character.
Oh yeah.
Kuvash has a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah.
He's a loyal spear.
Yeah, I just wanted him to taste blood the whole time.
And he finally got some.
He did get some. He got some of that
Yeah.
Good blood.
Yeah.
Some of that strong blood.
Strong blood.
Strong
blood. Yeah, I liked him a lot. I liked that he was so persistent, I guess. I don't know. Because he was just there. And but he stuck around. I like that.
He did.
Oh, you know what? The little girl at the beginning. That was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those children.
Yeah, the children. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I really liked Exathantor.
Yeah,
he was pretty great. And then there was that one dude we always had sneak around for us. What was his name?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He was a character.
Oh, yes. You've got to do some voices for us before we close the episode.
You're going to put me on the spot like that?
Here, you can prepare because I have one more question. Okay. Although you might have to answer it. So, but really, this is open to anyone. Has anyone ever played with other players whose characters pursue romantic relationships?
Yes. Yeah. I've had that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be difficult to deal with because they don't necessarily do it in a tasteful way. Unlike, unlike the people at this table. But typically, it's kind of rare, but not unheard of. Not unheard of. Sometimes it's a good way to develop a character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Do Exathantor.
Who's your favorite NPC?
The lady that sold pies.
Oh, the pie lady.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet granny.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with her.
Yep.
Very unassuming. So much heartache.
Another character I really enjoyed that I don't think John was expecting us to have in our party for a short while was a druid who kind of came along with us. He had a pretty nasty fate, but he was entertaining.
Always wanted to be a squirrel.
Yeah,
Oh, things did not go well for him.
You know, I thought Vasily was pretty well done too. Like every time, I was like, every time he comes around, something's gonna happen.
Something wacky's gonna happen.
Do you have a favorite character to play in the campaign?
I would say it was always tied between the Abbot. I really like the Abbot in general because he's such an interesting character,
mm-hmm.
has so many layers to him. And honestly, I do like the little bits where you can play Strahd. Strahd is a fun character to portray.
Mm-hmm.
He has interesting morals and he's spooky. I guess that makes him fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
great cheekbones.
He's great, great cheekbones. He's one of the few characters in a D&D campaign that's a villain that will actively hunt you and move across the map and try and actually thwart what you're doing. He doesn't just sit in his castle and wait. So that's always fun to deal with and to play.
How about you, Fallon?
I always had kind of a soft spot for Van Richten.
Yeah.
He was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he was
just kind of
guy.
An old cranky old man.
Yeah.
Like, get him, uncle.
Yeah. He was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You going to do Excalibur?
Excalibur.
Xanadu?
Xanadu?
Xanadu.
Exathantor?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you're wanting me to do a voice?
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave it off with Exathantor.
Oh.
I'd rather do... He's no fun, he's no Blinsky.
Yes!
Yes. There it is.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's all I got, man.
Yeah.
You got anything?
I think you asked the important questions.
Yep.
The hard-hitting questions. Maybe, I don't know. I really like Blinsky, so I'm still on that.
Yeah. Blinsky was cool. And the whole monkey?
Blueberry, right?
Blueberry?
Was that the monkey's name, or did he eat blueberries?
He ate blueberries.
What was the monkey's name?
I want to say, no, not Piccolo.
Yeah, no, it
something
was
like that.
It was Piccolo. Piccolo.
Yeah.
Was
it Piccolo? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, now okay. That you say it, that's right.
Yeah, Pate even got to talk to him quite a bit, too.
Oh. Very food motivated.
Yes, he was.
Ally to the party.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, hopefully you guys enjoyed this, and if you are interested in starting D&D, feel free to reach out to us at Instagram. Or the Book of Faces, or Meta, as
yeah.
The lame people say.
Lame people alienate yeah. The audience for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it, and we'll, in a year or two, be making an episode about Kingmaker.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, mm-hmm. I want to thank all of you for coming and being part of this, and hopefully we have as much fun when we start Kingmaker as we did with this. Mm. It's been a blast.
Sure thing.
Awesome.
All right.
Let's end with an applause.
Oh, yeah. Huzzah!
I just wanted to watch the sound go crazy.
So. All right. Stay nerdy, guys.